Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Black Phoenix Talk Show Network. I'm your host for tonight's show, Henrietta Bird. Back from a wonderful vacation and so glad to be back with you. Tonight, we are going to have just a wonderful, laid-back kind of talk-about-things show. After having the 3 weeks of the doctoral personnel from the International Black Summit, as we begin every show and every meeting, everything we do with the declaration of the International Black Summit, we will also begin this show. So give us a moment and sit back and listen to the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable. For those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, unity, with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies, providing human services, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. September 15th, 2013, Chicago. Oh, I'm not in Chicago, excuse me. Coral Springs, Florida. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. And that is the declaration of the International Black Summit. You know, that is one of my favorite pieces of work, pieces of spiritual work, I'll call it. That's kind of how I hold the Declaration of the International Black Summit. It's a piece of work that was given by life, two people of Black African descent as a guide, as a blueprint to establish a particular consciousness in the universe. And in 1991, on October 7th in Atlanta, Georgia, many of you have heard this story many, many times. But it's one of those stories that we keep sharing so that people of all ages will understand that a group of people got together and listened very intently to what life was saying to them, so much so that they would have people like myself, 22 years later, distinguish this declaration for themselves in a way that it would provide just a wonderful space to live in. And so we ask each and every one of you who might be listening at this particular time, those of you who listen at other times, to take a deeper look into the International Black Summit Declaration and see where you find yourself, see where you see yourself, see where what speaks to you in the declaration. We are moving and have moved. Actually, we are a month and 15 days now into the 2013 question that was generated in Ottawa, Canada, at the 2013 International Black Summit Conversation Weekend. And that is one of the declarations that we have and one of the questions that we ask ourselves for the next 330 days. We ask ourselves over and over and over again this particular question. Go to blacksummit.org, and take a look at everything on that website. It will explain many, many things to you. You get to look at the declaration. You get to look at the question. You get to have conversations with other members of the International Black Summit Conversation and distinguish for yourself different distinctions like no out there and no right way to be, trigger, clearing, different distinctions that we use and that you'll hear throughout our conversation. We ask you to take a look there. We ask you to register for the 2014 International Black Summit that will be held in Belize. And we ask you to join the conversation, and the different ways that you can join the conversation are many. You can shoot us an email and ask us to have a summit share in your area. You can give us a join one of our meetings and join the group and ask whatever question that you might have of the people that are there. One of the things that we do throughout the year is we have summit shares. And a summit share is where people who have attended the summit, people who would like to attend the summit, where they come together and they share the different aspects of the summit, as well as the different experiences that they had in the summit, as well as the many different questions and concerns of the summit. The summit conversation, or what's available in that weekend, that first weekend of August every year, is we explore different questions that come up through the listening of the facilitator body. And the questions that come up based on the consciousness of the people who are in attendance. And as those questions come up, they are facilitated by a group of people in the facilitator body, and people are able to explore at different levels, at different times throughout the weekend, these questions with their groups. Groups are formed at the actual summit. These aren't groups that are already together. These are groups that are formed at the summit. And so it's a wonderful experience. It is my belief that everybody should have that experience. The talk show that you're listening to right now is another way to communicate. And we are here, of course, every every Sunday from 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. We are here every Sunday throughout the year. And when I say we, I'm speaking of Glenn Greenwich and myself, Henrietta Byrd. And Glenn is taking one more week to take care of a really, really, really important person in his life. And we send our love and our just all of the greatest energy ever to Glenn as he, you know, takes some time and takes really great care of his mom. Glenn, you know, you all hear Glenn every week. Glenn and I are co-host this show, and Glenn is a holistic person. He has an organic garden, and so as his mom's body is experiencing some things right now. Glenn follows, you know, the doctors and what they, you know, ask of her to do. But then Glenn, you know, Glenn is like one of these people who can, back in the day, he would have been like the medicine man, or he would have been like that go-to person in the village who can give you that right combination of herbs, you know, to drink or to take or whatever that will do something wonderful for your body. And so that's who Glenn is. That's one of the aspects of Glenn. And so that's what he's doing now. And so, like I said, we love and respect Glenn just so much. And when I say we, I'm actually speaking for the entire Summit body. You know, Glenn takes care of everyone the same way. And so as he takes some time and takes care of his mom, we really send our love and our appreciation out to him. On any other Sunday, Glenn and I would both be here, and we would, you know, be in communication, conversation about different things. But I'd like to just take this particular moment to say thank you to the person who relieved Glenn and I both the last 3 weeks, and that's Chakaysha. And I know you all just love Chakaysha. We love Chakaysha, and I so appreciate her giving us that 3 week vacation time. She just did it, you know. She just jumped right in and did it, and called me to tell me. She called me to tell me that she had this idea, you know, about different shows, and that's nothing new. You know, Chakaysha used to be one of our regular hosts. And at that particular time, we had a team of five hosts, and Chakaysha was one of them. And then she got complete with her, but she never stopped assisting, and she never stopped giving us ideas, and she never stopped sending people to the show, and she never stopped just doing whatever she could do to support the talk show. And so she called to tell me about this idea she had, and I had been waiting for her to call because I had an idea also, and they just worked out together. My idea was that Glenn and I could have 3 weeks off, and her idea was to do the show about the PhDs in the Summit body. And so I was like, yes, that's a great idea, and can you do it, you know? And she said yes. And so Glenn and I were able to just really have 3 weeks off, which I think is the first time, and I can't even tell you when, you know, or if ever we've had that kind of time off. So it was very, very nice to you know, just take a break for a moment. And I just want to acknowledge Chakaysha for the wonderful work that she does, for allowing us to have the time that we had, and for putting together some great shows. We have two new people coming on our production team soon, and you'll probably hear from them in October sometime, and two new gentlemen, actually, and we're looking forward to them joining us. They're going to work production, so you know, they'll be doing a lot of the prep work for Glenn and myself, and as, you know, time goes on, you'll hear from them. And so we're thankful and would like to acknowledge those two gentlemen at this particular time. And that's it for acknowledgments in this moment. I wanted to acknowledge just, I guess I'm not complete with acknowledgement, because I'm really thinking about the 2013 annual event. And I'm going to get to the question, you know, so we can distinguish the question a little bit tonight. And I wanted to share about, you know, how I look at PhDs, you know, just to add to the conversation that Keisha had for the last 3 weeks, knowing the some of the people that you heard from during those 3 weeks, and knowing what that work is like. I want to add to that also. But it's also an acknowledgement what I'm present to, and being present to something is like what's there for you right now, like in this moment, what I'm present to. And I'm present to caregivers. Caregivers. I spent the last week as a caregiver to a dear, dear friend. And it is the most gratifying experience, I think. It's been a while since I've done this kind of work. I did it for my mother, and I've done it for other people for short periods of time, you know, short periods of time. But this time I had a week to actually care for a very, very close friend of mine. And it's something, you know, what I'm present to is giving back. And, you know, I remember telling my daughter as she grew up that there's certain things that you do with people just because. You know, you don't have to have a reason, you don't have to be paid, you don't have to get anything from it, you know, receive anything from it. It's just because someone has done for you at some time in your life that every once in a while you get an opportunity to give back to that individual. And giving back to someone who has given to you is just, oh my God, it is the most gratifying experience ever. And I hope everyone has that opportunity. Because we put ourselves in different, you know, in different, categories. You know, we categorize our friendship and our relationships and our loved ones, and we are more apt to take care of family members than we are friends, you know. And oftentimes it's because our friends have family members who take care of them. But the opportunity that I received this week was to take care of a friend of mine who definitely like family. We've been like family since we met. And the family member had to go away, and I was able to take the time and assist. And it's very, very interesting. What I'm present to is unconditional love. When you care for someone whose body is experiencing some kind of challenge or adjustment, I'll say, it's very interesting how all the boundaries that normally you have, they don't exist. And you do whatever needs to be done. And I noticed how I was able to do that. Whatever it was that needed to be done, that's what you do. You know, and it's like the ultimate show of gratitude, I'll say, is when you can assist someone who's been of assistance to you at some time in your life. And I do, you know, I think about that. And there's a part of the declaration that says providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, okay? Nurturing relationships. So I'm present to that part of the declaration today. And human services and nurturing relationships, you know, being able to say, yes, we can do this, or no, we can't do this, because of, like I said, the person's health challenge. And or yes, we can eat this, and no, we can't eat this. You know, to be able to make those kind of decisions, knowing that that's not the norm. You know, that's not the way that normally you would do something. Very similar to what Glenn is doing. You know, Glenn is having to cook, as he always does. You know, you always hear us talk about Glenn cooking for people, and he cooks for his mom every day. But being able now to say, okay, we can eat this, but we can't eat that, you know. And it's real, real interesting how that happens. When Glenn comes back on the show, we'll have a really in-depth conversation about caregiving, you know, about what it's really like to have to say no to someone that you love because of their health condition, you know, and everyone, I'm saying everyone will have this experience in some form or fashion. If it's not with a family member, it may be like my situation. It might be with a dear friend, and it's really a humbling experience. It's also a very, it makes you very strong, and it makes you very responsible when you are given to care for someone and they have several limitations based on what their bodies are going through, and you have to pay attention to that. You know, it's not about what they want, it's about what they can have, you know. And so, like I said, when Glenn comes back, we'll have a show about that, because many people I find are going through these kinds of situations. I remember one day, about maybe it was less than a month ago, my sister and I went to a transition service. And you know how transition services are. You run into a lot of people that you haven't seen in a long time, and you get to have these conversations. And as we left the service, and it was just the visitation, it wasn't the service, but as we left the visitation, walking back to the car, we ran into, you know, people who were coming in. And I think we ran into three people that we stopped to talk to. There were many people that we passed, but there were three people that we actually stopped and talked to, and without exception, every one of those people we had not seen because they were home taking care of a parent. And my sister and I, both took care of our mom before she made her transition. And so talking to us, we were able to support them because we had done it, you know. And it's like anything else that we do in life. We have the experience first, and then life has this wonderful way of sending people to you so that you can share your experience with them and support them while they are going through it. That's another one of my beliefs, that every time you learn something, you don't just learn it for you, or every time you experience something, you don't experience it for yourself. You experience for the universe. And you learn what you learn from it, and you experience what you experience. And believe me, someone is on their way to you who needs to hear what it is that you learned while you were having that experience. And so I want to acknowledge at this particular time all the people who are taking care of loved ones. Just everybody on every level, however you are doing it, we want to acknowledge you and just send you energy, light, and love. And remember, during the time that you are taking care of your loved one, you must take time for yourself. If it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, if that's the only time you get to do it, you must have your meditation time. You must have your just kick back and relax time. You know, whenever you can squeeze it in, you squeeze it in. Because you must remember, you give from the overflow. You don't deplete what's given to you, but you give from the overflow, which means you take care of yourself first. And as you take care of yourself, then you can take care of everything else. So acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who caregivers are to the universe and what they've contributed for years and years and years and years and continue to contribute to this world in making a person comfortable as their body adjusts to whatever the situation is, or to making a family comfortable as a person makes their transition. Whatever the situation is, we acknowledge you for taking care of your loved ones in whatever possible way it is. There are people who take care of their loved ones financially. You know, there are people who have allowed loved ones into their homes to share their space. Acknowledgement to you tonight. Acknowledgement to those of you who have, you know, just extended your hand and pulled somebody up, you know. Acknowledgement to those of you who have never done it, and those of you who really would like to do it but don't think that you're capable of doing it. It's like everything else. It's a facilitation, and it's not you doing it. It is the power within you that does it. And once you turn on that power for whatever period of time that you have, you will be amazed at what you will be able to accomplish and how comfortable you will be able to make that loved one just because you said yes to doing it. So once again, acknowledgement to our caregivers, acknowledgement to those of us who've extended a hand to anyone for any reason on any level. We acknowledge you here at the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And I'm your host for tonight. I'm Henrietta Byrd. And I'm in Coral Springs, Florida, having a wonderful, wonderful experience with a dear friend. And shout out to Glenn, who's in Brooklyn taking care of his mom today. We're grateful to Glenn and his mom. Acknowledgement to Chakaysha, who allowed us the 3 weeks, you know, just to do whatever we needed to do. And we'll talk about that when Glenn gets back as well, you know, like what did he do on his 3 weeks off and what did I do on the 3 weeks. That'll be an exciting show as well. I did share a little bit last week in the last 10 minutes of the show about going to Summer Dance. Chicago has a Summer Dance, outside Summer Dance program, and I shared a story last week right at the end of the show about a wonderful experience I had there. And so you'll hear more about that too. So let's take a look at the question, the 2013 question, and a couple of things that I want to talk about. I want to send a shout out to the Chicago people, the Chicago Summit people, Claudie, Lennar, the people who traveled with us on our way to Ottawa, and I hope we can get all of the Chicago people. Well, not hope, but I'm gonna make that request that we can get the Chicago people on a call so you can see and you can hear what traveling to the Summer Conversation, how much fun it can be, and how you're in that Summer Conversation. The moment you say, yes, I'm going to the Summit, and just to see how things work out. And or you think Oprah and Gail had experiences on their road trip. We have some wonderful experiences also to share with you. So that's another program that you'll have a chance to look into. So let's look at the question, the 2013 question. Sometimes there are declarations. This year, it's a question. And there are three questions within the question. There's three. And as we look at the questions, this you heard me say in August that we actually had three summit events in Ottawa. We had a youth event, and the youth are from 8 to 18 years old, and that was in one room. We had a young adult conversation that was in a separate room, and then we had the adult summit. And they were all going on simultaneously. And so this was the first time. When it was time to generate the question came, you know, the adults, all the question always comes out of the adult room. Well, because we had a young adult, and young adults are from 18 to 35, so they are adults also. There was part of this question was generated by the young adult
space and the other by the adult space. And it was aligned on that the adult, there would only be one question. So we combined the question so that it included the information from the adult space as well as from the young adult space. And like everything else, it had to be distinguished. It had to be talked about. It had to be communicated between, among the adults and the young adults. So it was a back and forth, and I love that process of communication that we do. Because we get to look in the moment to see, is this what we see? And one of the conversations that we had was whether or not there would be a question, two questions, one for the young adults, one for the adults, or not. And so that communication took place. And, you know, in the declaration, we say we stand for the expression of our spirituality. And when we stand for something, that means a lot. It means a lot of different things. In this particular moment, what I see it meaning is yes and no. I say yes to certain things, and I say no to certain things because of my stand. You know, I'm standing inside of something. And it allows me to say yes, and it allows me to say no. And as the young adults took a stand for there being one question, it allowed the adults space to generate this question as one. And so it was just a wonderful experience, and here's the question. For 2013, the question is, 2013, 2014, because we keep this question as we go into Belize, August 1st. And the question is, what do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self? That's one, part one. Part two, am I aligned with my authentic self and my vision? All right? So there's actually two questions, and there's two parts of the second question. The second question being, am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? All right? And the first part, now, the first question is, what do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self? Am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? And so here we're looking into vision, triggers, access, provide, provision, right? Authentic self, looking at alignment. We're looking at vision again, you know. And so this is one of those questions that really, you know, it really takes you there. So let's take a look at it. The first part, the first four words, what do my triggers? And remember, we've distinguished triggers a lot on this show. But we want you to really understand trigger, the distinction, trigger. And I want you to be able to distinguish trigger for yourself. Distinguish trigger for yourself. It's in the distinguishing of it for yourself that you will become more and more present to the experience of trigger. You know, it's something that occurs inside of you And when it occurs, when trigger occurs, you are no longer willing to be present to what's going on in the moment. It takes you somewhere. Something triggers you, and it takes you somewhere. It can take you to something that happened years ago, and I'm even saying lifetimes ago, but it just takes you. You know, it takes you away. One of the movies, you know, that I've watched recently, The Butler, I've seen that movie 4 times. And one of the reasons that I saw it 4 times was because of the trigger, the triggers that I experienced. And triggers aren't necessarily bad things, you know, or negative, because nothing is really bad, but negative. It don't have to be negative. It's just something that takes you away from now, from the moment. It just takes you there. And there were parts in The Butler that just took me. It took me to where I was when those things occurred, or it took me into my imagination, into my wondering of what my parents went through. See, sometimes trigger will take you to a space where you've never been. Like much of that movie I had never experienced. But my parents experienced it. And so my trigger took me into this space where I wondered, what did my parents do at that particular time? Then it also took me to a space where my grandparents, you know, I wondered what my grandmother did when that occurred for her, because there were so many things that I heard about, never experienced, but I heard about, and based on when my grandmother was born, I knew that she had those experiences, you know, and because they took place in the place where she was born. And so a trigger is something that occurs. It's like automatic. It just goes off inside of you. And you are no longer able to be present. And there are times where it will just go away. There are times where you have to do the work for it to go away. And before you develop your awareness of trigger, you just react, or you shut down, or you do something. And now, as I develop, you know, my muscle around trigger, I'm able to notice when it occurs, when it goes off, and I'm able to do certain work. I'm able to be with what is. Remember last year, we talked about be with what is. And I can work with myself, you know. I can be with what is. I can, you know, look and see how I'm feeling about something. I can, you know, track my trigger. You know, I can just do certain things because I'm aware of it now. Triggers can also be very positive and uplifting and happy times and whatever. And as that occurs, I'm also able to track that, and I'm also able to understand that it's something that's temporary, just like a trigger that has to be worked through. And so attachment is something that I'm understanding that I become present to, you know, like how attached am I to these triggers? How attached am I to what it is that has those triggers go off? And so as we distinguish certain things, trigger is one of the things that we will be working with for the next year. So that's a part of it. And what the question begins, what do my triggers reveal? Like, what do they reveal? You know, does it reveal that this is a very happy time in my life? Does it reveal that I am, I have a lot of work to do when it comes to this particular aspect of myself? You know, does it have, this trigger, is my being triggered? Is it something where that I need to be with until I get the gift from it? You know, that was year before last. What is the gift? You know, is it something where I need to pay attention to and I need to do some what I call forgiveness work and transformation work around? So there's that part, that aspect of trigger. You know, so I'd like for you to be with us this year, every week, as we distinguish the different aspects of this question, you know, and ask yourself this question when you feel out of control, when you feel you're in control, just when in your meditation time, ask yourself this question, what do my triggers reveal? All right? The next part of it says, that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self. There is an authentic self that we have to distinguish this year. Like, what is that? What do we mean when we say authentic self? Do I have more than one self? You know, what is it that I'm talking about when I say authentic self? So as we distinguish that part, you know, authentic self, then back up after we distinguish authentic self, and we will, you know, like I said, every Sunday we'll be doing this, and we back up and we say, okay, my trigger revealed to me that I have some work to do around, let me just hypothetically say, relationships. I have some work to do around relationships. That's something that was revealed to me. And so I will start to pay attention to how I be in relationships. And it can be in any relationship. It can be in a relationship with a coworker, a colleague, a family member, a loved one, a lover, you know. It can be anything, but if the trigger is around relationship, then you start to pay attention to your relationship and start to track how you be in that. And what is it that this trigger revealed to you that provides you access to alignment with your authentic self? So let's look at authentic self as a good space. You know, we'll just call it a good space today. Like, that's a good space to be in when I'm aligned with my authentic self. You know, and so there's an alignment that I can be out of. You know, like not be in alignment with my authentic self. And so authentic self is this good space, this great space, and I'm not in alignment with it. And so this trigger is going to provide me access to that alignment. So if I ignore the trigger, then I'm preventing to a degree, I can be preventing alignment to my authentic self. Take a look at it that way. And in many ways, all right, there's, like we say, there's no right way to be. This is a way that you can look at this question. So what do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self, right? And let's talk about the next part of it for a moment. And we ask the question, am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? Okay, so that second part, I have to, number one, know what my vision is. And I have to really distinguish my authentic self. And so this question, you know, we kind of break it up. We're going to have to really talk about vision. We're going to have to talk about authentic self. We're going to have to talk about alignment. We're going to have to talk about trigger, revealing and alignment, you know. And believe me, this is it's communication. It's simply conversation, there are things that are undistinguished at this particular time, and there are things that we will distinguish every week as we go, and certain things will be revealed to you. So stay tuned as Glenn and I, you know, take a look at this question every week. We'll do segments on, of course, everything, but we will always be in a conversation about this question. And let me just read it to you again. What do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self? Am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? That's the 2013-2014 question for the International Black Summit Conversation. And that next conversation, that next annual event, the next annual event will be held in Belize. And on the fifth Sunday, the next fifth Sunday, the Enfoldment team, one of the teams of the International Black Summit, they're going to come on and have a conversation with you about Belize. And so we're looking forward to that. That conversation with the Enfoldment team as we move closer and closer to that next annual event. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and I'm Henrietta Byrd. You are on with me this evening as we distinguish the 2013-2014 question. We are acknowledging caregivers. This evening, we are also acknowledging Jakaisha for the excellent work that she did around the PhDs in the summer conversation. I'm so grateful to those people who came on and shared what their PhD work was like, or what it is like, what they're going through now, what they're looking forward to, and just some great shows. Those were the last three shows, so if you would like to listen to those shows were September 8th, because this is the 15th, September 1st, and August 25th. So those are the shows that are about the PhDs, PhD personnel in the International Black Summit body. And again, we're thankful and grateful and acknowledge those people who have done work on a PhD, who are in the midst of it, who stepped away from it and are working to get back to it, whatever level. It is exactly where you are to be at this particular time, and we're grateful for that. We're thankful for the work that you've done. We acknowledge you, we celebrate you, and we really give thanks for the work that you do and your contribution to this work. We have about 6 minutes left to this show tonight, and we've, you know, kind of taken the question apart tonight. And I want you, if you, you know, when you get an opportunity, whatever questions you have about it, go to blacksummit.org, and you can send us a text message, a talk show at internationalblacksummit.com, but check on the network, on our website at blacksummit.org, and send your questions in about this question, about this declaration, about the question. You know, if you have questions about vision, trigger, alignment, authentic self, whatever it is, you know, just let us know. And rather than just to ask us what it means, we are not into telling you things, but we're into facilitating. So tell us what it means to you. You know, distinguish it for yourself. That's one of the beauty, one of the aspects. I'd say it's kind of like the magic of the summit, is that you get to distinguish things for yourself. How do you hold it? You know, what do you say vision is? What do you say authentic self is? What do you say alignment is? You know, what do you say a trigger is? What do you say revelation is when something is revealed to you? Do you know, what does that mean for you? And so in, you know, in your email, send that to us. You know, this is what it looks like from where I sit. And that's a start. That's how you generate things. That's how you begin to distinguish things. You know, and so, you know, I invite you to contact us and, just, you know, begin this conversation on this question and distinguish things for yourself. Remember, this week is a week of acknowledgement, praise, and celebration of who we are as a people and the contribution we are to the universe. A salute to caregivers, and we're very, very grateful once again, Glenn and I both, to Chakaysha. Our love to Glenn and his mom, and he'll be, you know, be back with us soon, and tell us, you know, just tell us. We want you to join us in Belize at the International Black Summit in 2014. We want you to join us there. There's nothing, there's no experience like this experience. And we really want you to join us there. I'd like to also acknowledge the people at the Universal Truth Center in Miami Gardens, Florida. I attended service there today, and it was a wonderful service. Reverend Dr. Anna Price delivered a wonderful lesson today. Just a wonderful, wonderful lesson. And it was just such a good worship experience. So I'd just like to acknowledge the Reverend Dr. Mary A. Tompkins, who's the founding minister and senior minister at Universal Truth Center, and Dr. Anna Price, and all the wonderful people that I got a chance to worship with today that I hadn't seen in a long time, and the work that's being done there at the Universal Foundation for Better Living. There'll be some, that's another group of people that we'll have on for you. And so they can share the work that's being done. Its headquarters are in Miami Gardens, Florida. But it's a, you know, it's a global organization. And so we will ask them to join us on another Sunday. Thank you so much for being with me tonight. I love you. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. I thank God for you. I see you with working inside of your vision. I think you are, I see you aligned with your authentic self. And I see your triggers revealing to you greatness so that you can be aligned to your authentic self and your vision. Have a wonderful week this week. Good night. God bless. And we'll see you next week, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Good night.